All right, so we're in Psalm 63. I'm going to read the first two verses there. O God, you are my God, and I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now there's two times that we know that David was in the wilderness. He was running in the wilderness. Once when Saul was king and he was trying to kill David, and the other time is when David was king and Absalom was chasing him. In this particular psalm, David refers to him as king. So most likely that David here is in the wilderness. He's fleeing Absalom, who's trying to kill him. I know that's been a reoccurring theme that we talked about, but many of the psalms that David has wrote are directed to, you know, the trials and struggles that he has gone through, either from Saul or Absalom. And David here says there in verse 1 that he's in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And in this wilderness, in a desert area, what is it he says he thirsts for? God, yeah. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh thirsts for you. He says, you are my God and I need you. And he says, I am seeking you earnestly. The word earnestly, what does that word mean to you? Yep, Jerry?
The word earnest means truthful.
Truthful?
Something like that.
Okay. The word earnest, you know, you think about that. It's something that you're seeking after. We put down earnest money to hold something, right? We've heard of that term. David says, my total ambition, my earnest desire, what I am seeking is, and whatever come what may, he says, I'm pursuing God. That's the foremost thought in everything that David does. And he teaches us a lot in all these psalms that he's not particularly asking for water, here is he? But he knows God's going to provide it, doesn't he? And maybe it's a lack of faith on my part. You know, I was in the desert. You know, I'm thirsty right now. I feel like reaching for this water. You know, but I'd be praying for water, or, you know, David's, thing is, or, you know, praying to get back to Jerusalem safely. And not that he couldn't be praying for water. I'm not saying that that's wrong per se, but this made me think, you know, too often we look for the wrong things. We look for the wrong answers. Maybe we even pray for the wrong things to come into our life when there's difficulty. You know, we put too much emphasis on the things that are wrong in our life to fulfill us, and we think that they're going to make it better. Now, David there, you know, he seeks after God. There are a lot of things and we can place our efforts toward to think that we're going to solve our problems, right? You know, many times, you know, as a young man, and, you know, we think of that better job. You know, that's going to solve all our problems. You know, we're going to have more money, and that's going to solve some problems maybe in the home, or, you know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't try for a better job. There's nothing wrong with that. But is that what you're, you know, you're working all those long hours and you're focused on that, but you're leaving all those other things behind that you should be focusing on. And so, I want to encourage you young folks, as you're seeking to better yourself in your employment and in your field, you know, stay focused on the Lord. You know, that better job, you know, the priorities that you put on in life sometimes can be the wrong things. And maybe it's that what we're missing, if there's problems in the home or whatever, it's what's missing is a closer relationship with God. And our efforts need to be focused on that. You know, yeah, those children that we have that we want to provide for, you know, that we want to work so hard for to help make sure they have things and do things and be able to provide for them. But what our focus should be on is teaching them about God. You know, we're so worn out that we can't make it Wednesday night, maybe that, you know, but what we should be doing is focusing on getting that job to where I can get off in time to get those children to be here in time for services. And so David tells us here that he's longing, you know, that thirst inside of him for God. And there's nothing else that he realizes that he needs that God has not already supplied him with. Look there in verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And when you think about it, here's a man that's thirsty, and he's talking about his lips and what they're going to do. They're going to praise the Lord. You know, it's easy to get turned in the wrong direction in life, isn't it? We have a lot of things, a lot of struggles, and a lot of things going on. Pressures of job and marriage and family and the house and all those problems. David here, when he was in Jerusalem, he was able, you know, to go to the temple. He was able to marvel at God. He was able to, you know, see there in verse 2, and the power and glory. But David, what did he understand? He says, because your loving kindness is better than life. That's some faith right there, isn't it? I recognize your power and your glory. And he says, I want you to know that I know what I need. And what I know I need is you. And it's your loving kindness that's going to sustain me. And we see that now for us as Christians, as for what God has done for us through his son, don't we? That loving kindness that he provided, that love is better than life. God's love is better than life. And because of that, he says, my lips will praise your name. David says, you know, and we sing a lot of songs in our services about God's love, don't we? Very encouraging songs that point us towards God's love. And David knows God's promise to him is to be king of Israel, right? He's to be king. And David has put his trust in God to deliver him from the wilderness. And come what may, you know, did God make a promise to his faithful to deliver us in sending his son? Yeah, there's many scriptures we know of in the New Testament. For those who have become a child of God, there's something in store for them, isn't there? There may be struggles, there may be sickness, there may be a lot of things going on in life. But your loving kindness, he says, is better than life. For those, see, no matter what all those struggles and trials, there's that crown of life that's in store for those who praise the Lord. Let's look at James 1. James 1, verse 12. James 1, 12 says, blessed is the man, is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God knows there'll be trials, doesn't he? He doesn't say there's not going to be trials. He tells us many times in the New Testament there's going to be trials. James talks about there's going to be trials and temptations. Temptations for us that is going to try us, and the devil is going to try to put all those other things in life to distract us and in our life to help us get past those trials. We have to have nothing but that end goal, don't we? That crown of life. And so there are no other answers out there when we think about this than out there in life, in a book. And whether you maybe be somebody that can counsel you, if they're not using God's word, you know, the permanent fix in life is to remain focused on God's loving kindness and the promise that if you'll make it to the end, what is it he says there? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. His loving kindness is better than life. Not that someone that says, well, I've led a good life. I've done some good things, and now I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of my life, right? No, the person that loves the Lord, the person that has been approved and perseveres under trials. David says, if we go back to Psalms 63, there in verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will bless you as long as I live. Not stop, not have a pause in the middle because, well, I got to get this old kingdom set up here. You know, I'll get back to setting up, things to worship God a little bit more focused. You know, I'm going to put all these other things aside. Now, David says, I will bless you how long? As long as I live. That's nonstop, right? That's not just here and there. As long as I live. You think about that. When I thought about this, that verse there, for I will bless you as long as I live, I thought about wedding vows. Remember those of us that are married. What did we say in our wedding vows? Many of you have had these vows that says, as long as you both shall live, right? As long as I live, I will bless the Lord. We remember those. We can't just pause them and say, well, I'm not going to honor my wife or cherish her. She knows I love her. It's okay, So, endure all things, bears all things, all those things that we think about, those things, they're not intermittent, are they? They shouldn't be, or you won't have a strong marriage. So we don't say to our mate, that I was patient, before, right? I'm not going to be patient today. Something else happened and just you threw that out the window for a while because I'm going through something difficult. My focus is on something else. And so we can't stop doing the things. And the same thing when you think about for David, you can't stop doing those things. And certainly, David had this attitude, as long as he lives, I'll bless the Lord. And he says, I'll lift up my hands in praise. And, in the Old Testament, we read about several places where they're lifting up hands in praise. It represented a kind of an appeal to God symbolically and expression of the heart to pray for God. Even while David is being chased in the wilderness, possibly by his own son, you think about that, he's still going to be praising God, and he's going to be lifting up praise to God, even in the difficult, most difficult times, isn't he? David does, David knows where the blessings come from, doesn't he? He's a recipient of many things. Let's read verse 5-8. It says, my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David knew right where the blessings come from. He's not just the material blessings, but he's satisfied in his soul. And that's a feeling that, we should all be striving for. Not that I'm not too sure how well I'm doing, in my relationship with the Lord. We need to have that same relationship and feeling satisfied. Not that we shouldn't keep trying and doing things, but just that love and knowing that you have that deep relationship with God and knowing that you're so blessed because of God. Remember, David is under attack, possibly by his own son here. David recognizes and teaches us even in difficult times, we need to be praising God, don't we? You know, as I said earlier, we can't be someone who says, you know, once I get past this situation or this terrible thing, then I'll get back to worshiping God. Well, you know, what better thing to be doing when you're going through a difficult thing is to be right here or right wherever, praising God, worshiping God, honoring God. And we need to have that faith, you know, that faith that says, God is my protector, God is my preserver. And that's what David teaches us also. In the desert, with nothing to drink, he says, my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. And he says there that he's going to meditate on you in the night watches. And, you know, the faith that meditates on him at night, laying in bed, instead of thinking about all the struggles and problems that we went through during the day, or what we're going to do tomorrow with our job, or with the yard, or whatever. You know, David says, I'm going to meditate on you. I'm going to focus on you in the good times and the bad times. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You know, you think about David and meditating and dwelling on the things of God. Paul told the Philippians to dwell on the things of God. Keep the things of God at the center of your mind. You know, many times we think about people that are meditating on something. That's the center of their mind. And at the center of their decisions, at the center of the things that they're going through in life, it should always focus on God as being the center, shouldn't it? You know, studying His Word, thinking on Him, praising Him. He tells us there what those things should be, Paul does. He says there, you know, are they honorable? You think about that. You can put a question mark behind each one of those. You know, are those things honorable? Are those things righteous? Are those things pure? Is it lovely? Is it worthy of godly praise? Those are the things that we should be dwelling on. Not that we shouldn't be making plans and doing things in our life to focus on, you know, getting through life. But what is our focus on, the center of our mind, dwelling on? Are they honorable? Are they right? David knew that his meditation should be on God, didn't he? Look back there in verse 7 there of Psalm 63. He says, for you have been my help. For you have been. That's past tense, isn't it? Well, he knows that he's always been there for him, not by accident. He says, I have been in the shadow of your wings, and there I will sing for joy. And he says there in verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, doesn't it? You know, we sing the song, The Old Rugged Cross, don't we? And that was a song that my dad, he used to love to lead singing, and he would lead that song. It's a very, very special song to me. And it says, you know, that I will cling to the old rugged cross. David says, my soul clings to you. What's the next part of that song? I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Well, the writer of that song just did so well of putting that together, didn't he? You know, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. If we can have that faith to hold on to the cross through all the difficulties of life and what he's done for us, David says he'll God's going to hold him up. He's going to hold him up with his right hand. You think about that, the right hand of God. And who's seated at the right hand of God now? Jesus is, isn't he? You think about that, the strength of God's right hand and the Savior right there beside him interceding for us. You know, how wonderful. And David sees this, and he praises God. He praises God, and he begins, as we end this psalm, he starts praising God for what he knows is about to happen and what is happening in his life. Look there in verse 9 through 11. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. You know, David's showing some optimism and confidence. And I talked about earlier having that feeling of that faith that knows that God's going to deliver you and not just waiting for the bad times to happen. But David knows that God has sustained him. He said there, like I said a minute ago, he's been there for my help. I've been in the shadow of your wings. David knows that God has promised him to be king, and he knows that he can count on his promises, doesn't he? Can you and I count on God's promises? We sure can, don't we? And we think about that. David knows the enemy will be defeated. We know that those things in life that are they're going to one day burn, all those things, the job and all those other things that we worry so much about and get so upset about, those things are all going to burn, aren't they? And those things, those people that are difficult in life that have no relationship with God, the enemy is going to be defeated. God's going to take care of those things, and we have to have faith in that. David sees the promises of God, not just mere possibilities, but he sees them as assurances, doesn't he? Not just, I'm hoping this is going to happen. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Familiar with this verse about faith, Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. David was one of those men, wasn't he? You think about that. David had confident expectation. He had that hope that God will keep his promises. And so many times, you know, with David and with us, we can't see those promises, can we? It's so difficult sometimes because we can't get our hands on things and we can't see them. But did God speak the world into existence? Do we have confidence that that happened? We see the moon, the stars, and you know, I think about sometimes when people think that, you know, there's no God, you know, I look at the human body, you know, some of you that are nurses and in the medical field, you know, how complex did God make the human body? And to think that there's no God that created that, you know, you can't believe, you know, that people would doubt there's no God that would create us and everything. So if we have that confident expectation and we're confidence in that all those things have happened, then why wouldn't we have faith and confidence that he's going to help us through all those difficult times, right? Have that hope, that knowing that God is going to keep his promises, he's going to do all the things that he said he's going to do. And David, as I said, is one of those men of old from approval. You know, he rejoiced in God. Back to Psalm 63. David put his trust in God. And look there in verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. David put his trust in God, and he says, I will, you know, swear by him. What does it mean to swear by something? Promise something? Take an oath? Yes, you know, many of you maybe that were in the military, you take an oath. And you think about that. You're swearing allegiance to something. And the same thing is that is here. We see that swearing by an example. And we see that several times in the Old Testament. You know, in Deuteronomy 10, Moses told the Israelites to, he told them to fear the God, fear your God, cling to him, and swear by his name. You know, that same focus, God wants us to have to be closer to him, to have that, you know, that deep commitment, that swearing by something, you know, you swear by it, and you also have reliance on that too, right? You swear allegiance to it, and you expect the delivery as well. And if we do that, his promises are true, aren't they? He will keep his promises, and he'll deliver us in the end. Turn over back to Psalms 37. Look at Psalm 37, verse 39 and 40. Psalms 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. When you think about that, he says he's going to provide that strength. He's their strength in times of trouble. He didn't say there's not going to be any trouble, does he? And so we know that in life we've had many difficulties, don't we? There's many things that we struggle. We pray for our brothers and sisters' health and family members. We've seen a lot of things in our lives, those of us that are a little older. And so, you know, providing us with that strength. We couldn't make it through those difficult times, couldn't we? He delivers those, and the salvation is for the righteous, is of the righteous. And so he delivers us from the wicked, and he saves us if we'll take refuge in him. Because they take refuge in him. Not because they think they can make it through on their own accord. They think they are strong enough, and all the difficulties of life sometimes We try to do things on our own, don't we? We try to make it through things, and we think that we're so tough. And you know, I can say I've been guilty of that many times in my life. When what I should have been doing was meditating on God's word like David did, or meditating on God like David did, and meditating on his word. So that's my lesson for today. Thoughts or comments? Yes, Leroy.
Back to the cross. I was clinging to the old rugged cross.
Yes.
We really should cling to Jesus.
Sure.
That cross is actually.
Okay. Yeah. So clinging to Jesus. Yeah. So he had to die in some form, right? So we know that, and that's what God chose. And so that's where, you know, that old rugged cross is where we know our Savior died for us. So that's important. But yeah, we shouldn't be holding on to a cross. Yeah, I get your point. Yep. Yeah, Matt?
I do think it's mindful, though, Scripture does tell us that the misdeaths freeze against us. We're nailed to
Those list of, yeah, those things were nailed to the cross. That's right. Yeah, Eric? And thirsting for righteousness. I thought about that scripture too, but yeah, having that mindset of you know, seeking God. That's right, Eric. Good point. Yeah, Shay? Yeah. It's a lifestyle. Yeah, not just wearing that name, but it's all those things of putting faith in His Word, studying His Word, knowing to grow stronger spiritually and continuing down that you know, walking in a worthy manner. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. David is. Yeah. God, you know, David is a wonderful example of knowing that he needed to follow God and be faithful to God. He wasn't a perfect man, we know that, but he knew that where his focus needed to be. So, all right. Thank you all.